Grace, peace, and mercy to you this day from our crucified and risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul writes, love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way, it is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. How many of you have heard that before somewhere? Yeah, most of you, even non-churchgoers might have heard that, because how many of you heard it at a wedding at some point, or wrong way? Yeah. It's fair and fine that people might request this to be read at their wedding. After all, isn't this the kind of love that we would hope for in any relationship, not least of which as people engage in their nuptials? And so all fine and good, have it read at your wedding. I've been privileged with officiating many a wedding when this is read, and I confess I'm kind of getting sick of it, but you can still do it. But there's more to it than that. You know, for instance, I had the privilege of fishing with an old teacher last week, and he has a beautiful streak of curmudgeon in him. And he was saying that a student recently asked him to officiate their wedding, and he said he would do it on one condition, that they did not read 1 Corinthians 13. Because that might seem a bit harsh, but I get it. He knows, my teacher knows, and wishes to hold to the fact that Apostle Paul is not writing about marriage in the love chapter. The situation is more broad and deals with the reality of faith in Jesus Christ for every person, whether you're married or single or divorced or remarried or young or old or whoever you are. And Paul says essentially that this whole Jesus thing finally boils down to this: love in the world for you, for others. And here's what it looks like. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude, not irritable or resentful, bears hopes, endures all things. That's what God is after in us. I don't know about you, but that kind of sounds a bit daunting. You know, sometimes I think we hear that and we're like, oh, that's really nice. Yeah, love is like that. But then, you know, I start taking personal inventory. Maybe you will too. How are you doing in it? Let's start with that first sentence. Love is patient. How you do with patience? Or love is not irritable. Yesterday I was irritable for a good 1 or 2 hours, and those in my household will attest to it. Any of you wrestle with resentment, hold on to stuff that's been done, hurts that you've had? Love endures all things. You know, there are some things that I'd rather not endure. Jesus says, love your enemies. My goodness. Maybe it's not so sweet a scripture after all. Next time we hear it, it convicts us perhaps. It makes me wonder, so what's up with Paul? Why is Paul writing this in the first place? Well, he's writing to a group of Christians, a church, a bunch of people like us, perhaps, coming from different walks of life, different backgrounds, different upbringings, perhaps, living in different parts of the city, but gathering together to hear the word of God. And he gets word that the church in Corinth, which he helped found, is having trouble. There's a lot of division, there's a lot of backbiting, there's people who are taking advantage of others and such. And he writes this back to them to remind them what's at the heart of all this. Apparently there are some, he hears, for whom they come to worship and even participate in communion and the Holy Supper and hear the word, but then go back and out in the, you know, milieu of the community and such are living just the way that they always did, with no regard for what Jesus would hope at all, as if it didn't make a difference whatsoever. And on the other hand, there are people in the congregation or in the church who are apparently started to act and posture if they were kind of just better Christians than all the rest. You know anybody like this? The super Christians, you know. Those Christians who ask you if you're saved, and you're like, yeah, Jesus said I am in my baptism. Yeah, but are you really saved? Paul's writing into this situation 2,000 years ago, but maybe it's relevant for today. I know sometimes I refuse and deny the transformative power of God and Jesus' love in my life. So Paul drills down again to lift up what this word and proclamation is finally about. It's about the nitty-gritty love of Jesus, who says when he is lifted up, he will draw all people to himself. In other words, when he dies on the cross, lifted up, he will meet us all. And he does it out of love, a love that has no end. And that's what I like to tell people getting married when they pick this scripture. First, I say, you know, your love is cool. It's very, very cool in the world. The fact that you would try to commit yourselves to one another. And I'll say, but Paul is writing about a greater love than even yours. Because chances are you might get impatient every now and then, or irritable, or have resentment. And that's why Jesus comes to you, to transform you again in love. I had fun this past week at the stewardship drive-thru because you kind of get to witness some crazy Christians coming through to pick up meatballs. And then you get to kind of hear into conversations or look into their life and see how love is working. Saw some beleaguered parents. You've seen them out there. They're weighed down. Three kids in tow in the back seat, running this way and that way. And you could see the deep breath they took when you handed over meatballs. They didn't have to prepare that night. They felt loved. An elder came through with her dog, shared that one of her dear friends just had her dog die, and so she's going to take her pup over to that friend. Saw one of our staff members who has the spiritual gift of loving kids, talking with kids in the back seat, bringing joy to them, joking around, smiling them, making them feel so safe. Saw one person who came through and said, Pastor, I'm delivering the pledge cards from my neighbors, and there's an elder that tunes in online. She's not a member, but she gave me $20 to bring to. That's the kind of love that's out there. It's the kind of love we might be about. It's small things, but Paul says even the smallest bits of love are lifted up in God. And it never ends. I think for me, I think about the time, that it never ends in terms of like it's going to outlast us all. But we might think it never ends in terms of the breadth of how much it may spread through you and me, through all the connections, all the places. Paul says, how great is the love of God? Well, love is patient and kind, not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Doesn't insist on its own way even. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but it rejoices in the truth. It bears all things with us, hopes all things when we can't, endures us until the end, and then keeps on going, because love never ends. So I don't know where we are this morning, maybe, but wherever we are, maybe we're transformed again to either be lifted up or brought low in God's love, as God loves you to death and into new life. That love is yours today in Jesus Christ. And who knows where you'll take it. Amen.